Well, John, thank you so much, firstly, for that, for what is a fantastic opportunity on a very important day for all of us who serve currently. Whilst it was really unfortunate that John and I didn't have a chance to deconflict what we were going to say in any great detail, putting Cyril up on the wall and perhaps my first photograph, that's the sort of connection, if you like. The history of those who have served and continue to serve this country for a number of years, hundreds of years, is something that those of us who are currently serving hold very dear. And I was going to sort of go into some of the detail about the First World War and the picture that is behind me, but I think actually John has captured in Cyril far better than I could have done the sort of service of those who have gone before. So if I move on to the next one, and just give a sense of those of us who are serving today. My own service is about almost 20 years on, and you'll be smiling because I promised her I was only going to serve for 3 years. And that's extended for a little bit longer than that. And at the moment, I work in the Ministry of Defence, having for a long time served with the Royal Engineers. And one of the things that I think it is worth just recognising is the scale of current commitments and the scale of the current activity that the armed forces are doing. At any one point in time, and today is no exception, soldiers, sailors and airmen from the UK are serving in over 25 different countries in a number of different operations, right the way from those which hit the news, whether they be in Iraq and Syria, to those which are less considered, the four or five people who we have currently serving in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And right the way across the world, we have a huge number of people serving in largely unknown and unheralded operations. The two key elements of the last few years have inevitably been Iraq and Afghanistan. And over that time, almost 220,000 members of the armed forces have served in those operations. And many of you will be familiar with what those have brought. And the generation that conducts those operations today is very much founded on those who went and served before us. This year, the British Legion is focused on the next generation of veterans, as it were. And I wonder if I might just have the next photograph. And the one that I would put up here is a good friend of mine, Sam Jack. Sam and I served together in Afghanistan 7 years ago. Very proud Royal Engineer, looking very smart there, if you can see it, as he should. Now, Sam Jack was 21 years old when he served with my squad in Afghanistan, and only 6 weeks into his deployment with us in Helmand, was very, very seriously injured. He lost his eye, and at the time he lost about two-thirds of his skull, actually, in that, not that you'd tell it now, such a dashing young man that he is. He was sent home, and it was pretty much touch and go as to whether that he was going to survive. Comes from Bishop Stortford, a very loving family there. And on our return from Afghanistan, one of the first people I went to see was Sam, and he was looking much better due to the sort of medical care that he'd received in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham, but was still touch and go. And he was touch and go for almost 18 months after he returned from Afghanistan. 7 years on, Sam, this year, is the face of the Royal British Legion. It is an amazing fact, friends, that he is here with us today. And that, I have to say, is the face of the veterans of today. They face and they have fought on a very very hard, very tough last few years. But time and time again, they have shown enormous resilience, and a resilience which I think their forefathers would be very, very proud. Since that, and this is some 7 years later, Sam Jack has become the sort of face of the Legion on a number of occasions. And single-handedly, I think he's responsible for raising somewhere in the order of about £1 million, £1.5 million since he returned. And his bit to me, I phoned him up the other day, and he gives me a hard time every time I phone him, which is good soldierly humour. And I said, "Do you mind if I talk about you?" And he said, "Why, what are you going to say?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to use you as a good example of veterans of today." And he said, there was great silence the other end of the phone. He said, "Well, if I'm the best you've got, then you can speak about me if you like." So I think that sort of character that many in Cyril's generation would recognise and many in other parts of this church would recognise as well is hugely important. Also, to pick up on one of John's other points, is just the dynamic and sort of very diverse nature of the forces today. Throughout my time in operations, I've had the huge privilege of serving alongside Nepalese Gurkhas, who are still a very key part of it. Huge elements from the South Pacific, particularly Fiji, which gives a huge contribution to the army today. And also people from right across the Commonwealth, particularly West Africa, who continue to serve with huge distinction in the armies, in the army and the services today. But notwithstanding any of those who serve and those who are on the front line, there is just one group who I'd really like to sort of take this opportunity to focus on today. Could I have the last picture, please? And that's the families. Very much those of us who are in uniform are trained to do a job, and that's actually what we do when we go away on operations. That is our entire reason for being, is at some point we know it's going to be pretty miserable and we're going to have to go and do that job that we do. The people who sort of marry us and our children don't make that same choice. And yet, I have to say, I think it is them who shoulder the heaviest burden during those deployed times. For me, missing a phone call is missing a phone call. For the families, missing a phone call is added anxiety, added uncertainty. For me, watching the news is to see what's happening back in the UK. For those of us in our families, watching the news is to try and understand what might be happening to us. And so that anxiety and that pressure and that unknown, if you like, is one of the key things of our community. And the pictures that you see in front of you, hopefully you can see some of those. But this reflects an event which we held in my last unit. I was very, very fortunate to command 33 Engineer Regiment, which is one of our bomb disposal units. And in 2014, we marked the end of our regiment service, certainly at scale in Afghanistan. And as a result of that, we chose to commemorate the families with a large stone rather than those who had served. And so through support from our local community in the Saffron Walden area and much, much, much beyond, we were able to mark that event with a large stone. And in trying to think of what the names or what we could put on that stone, there were lots of ideas around. But one of the key things, and one of the things which I think has kept those people who continue to serve and who have served through the generations, is a really sweet sort of blend, if you like, of both courage and endurance. Because as John so rightly put, and with the uncertainty in the world at the moment, I certainly think that we will continue to have a requirement to call on some of our young people to continue to do this work for some years to come. As much as those, and many say there are no greater pacifists than those who serve in the military. And I have to say, I'm certainly in that bracket. If we could stop it tomorrow, I think we all would. But in terms of that generation and the next generations that come with it, that sort of courage and endurance which underpins everything, which is our business. Now, often these sort of days like today can be quite sort of thoughtful, and certainly they are a very thoughtful day, as you have seen for me. What I would say, though, is also they're a day of great celebration, because they're an opportunity for us to think not just of the sort of sad times, but also those very, very positive times and very happy times as we remember our many friends who we've served with over the course of the last time, and those in these communities who have served with such distinction across it. So far from being just a sort of mournful time, they are, believe it or not, a very positive time for us as a real opportunity to mark those who have served, those who continue to serve, but perhaps more importantly, those who are in a better place from us today. I'm very happy to be here, and I say I was absolutely delighted when John gave me the opportunity to talk and just give a little insight into what it is. I'm very conscious that time is against us, but afterwards I'd be very delighted if anybody had any questions on what we are. Above all, I just want to leave you with one thing, and that's my thanks. I have, as I say, had the privilege to serve on operations around the world, and each and every church that Angie and I have been to have sort of taken us to their hearts in praying as we go. And it's not individual churches that are important, but it's that sort of common body of churches around the world and around Britain on this particular day. If I have one thing is to ask you, is just to pray today for the families of those who serve today.